And we are going to be able to go into recess early. Maybe not.
Joe Shoren is coming over in a couple of minutes. There's been an officer.
Okay.
He's on his way. So if you can just hang out.
Okay. Okay. Well, we have a new addition to the agenda. And that is that Joe Shoren is coming over to discuss with us an item that's late breaking, and it will be in open session. So we've been asked to stay in a session for a few more minutes. Director Anderson?
Do you like somebody to fill the time for a moment?
For sure.
You'll recall that Governor Gregoire issued an executive order on a rules moratorium, and there were three general categories of exceptions, and we've been trying to be mindful and careful of bringing rules forward to the commission for consideration that fit within one of those exceptions. There was a discussion at the cabinet meeting on Monday, and they've been asking for, the governor's office has been asking for comments about and considering whether or not Governor Inslee would put forward a similar governor's rule for declaring a moratorium on rulemaking. So that's under consideration in the governor's office. I don't have a clear timeline for relative to a decision. One of the questions we were asked was, if the moratorium came off, what would you expect? Is there a big backlog of rules there that's waiting? At least for us, there is not. That may not be true for some other agencies, so we'll have to wait and see. There's also a bill in the legislature that I think was introduced today.
It's been there.
That would restrict rulemaking. There are some exceptions in the bill language. One of the exceptions is for the Department of Fish and Wildlife to determine openings and closures of seasons. But it does not extend to all of our authority in terms of time, place, and manner. So, and specifically relative to gear, don't have a real good sense yet of the level of support it has in the legislative discussion at this point. But there are those two things in terms of the governor's order on rules moratorium potentially being extended by Governor Inslee, and then this more, maybe even more restrictive rules moratorium that would come about as a result of a passage of the bill that's currently being considered by the legislature.
That bill that you just described, is it limited to the Department of Fish and Wildlife?
I'm sorry? Is it what?
The bill regarding
restrictions on rulemaking, yes.
Rulemaking on season setting but not gear types, is that limited to Fish and Wildlife, or does that bill cover other things too?
Well, the exceptions would be in relative to what the restrictions on the commission's rulemaking authority would be statewide.
Okay.
I haven't studied, it's House Bill 1162. I haven't looked at the bill in detail to know how it affects other state agencies or what other exceptions there are. I did just get Joe just got an email from Ann Larson that described in relatively brief terms the exceptions that are provided for Fish and Wildlife and the exclusions, in other words, those actions that the the commission takes, or we do through emergency rulemaking relative to gear and seasons. So we'll look more closely at that, but just wanted to give you an early heads up that those that matters is before the legislature, and Governor Inslee is considering a continuation of the rules moratorium.
Okay. I think we didn't get to ask while you gave your director's report this morning about if there's any word from Fish and Wildlife Service about wolf rule delisting-ish.
We had a conference call with Dan Ash, I think it was a week ago today, I think. And it was with the state directors from WAFWA. All could participate, and many did. There was a description of the timeline that they're on relative to the issuance of their proposed rule, and they're anticipating a late April, early May time frame for the release of their proposed rule. They're still looking at the potential of having Canis lupus delisted throughout the country, and that the two distinct population segments would of Northern Rocky Mountain and Great Lakes would continue to stay in place, and it is the boundaries of those DPSs that would be used for that population of Canis lupus, that they would have a subspecies for Mexican gray wolf, that they would have I'm trying to remember whether the term is a test population.
Experimental population,
thank you. And they would have an area described that includes portions of New Mexico, Arizona, Utah, and Nevada, I believe.
Colorado.
Maybe Colorado, I'm not sure, I'd have to look. But at any rate, the protection for the experimental population would apply to that geographic area. And if they found a Mexican gray wolf outside the boundaries of that area, they would trap it and return it back to the area that was designated. Because if they delist Canis lupus, they lose their ability to have any protection for the Mexican gray wolf. So they need to replace the protection for that Mexican gray wolf with something, and this is what they're talking about. I think it's fair to say that they were not representing a final decision or telling us with finality what would be in the proposed rule, but they were sharing with us what I want to be careful what would I don't want to say what's likely to be in the rule, but they were sharing with us their general approach to structuring the proposed rule.
Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty impressive that they've been as forthcoming as they have been for the last couple years, because I would think that agencies would hesitate to give anyone any signals about what the rule's going to include in it, because until they actually issue it, how do they know for sure? So I think it's been a sign of their openness with us and trust in us and good faith that they want to give us as much heads up as possible, and I think I've appreciated that a lot. It gives us a window into their thinking, and I really like the way they're thinking so far. Commissioner Smith?
Yeah, Phil, did it come up that in Michigan, I know that it's being bantered around to, through the initiative process, whether there should be a season or not? I mean, they were talking about, I mean, if, after delisting, you know, to have a season on them, they were talking about doing that in the state, and then it's moved to go to the initiative on an up or down vote to see if they would do that.
Through the state initiative process?
You didn't, you haven't heard anything about that?
No.
Because that just adds another dimension to a lot of...
Yeah, and another question that came to mind that didn't have time to ask in relation to the Wolf work day at the legislature. What does it look like in terms of the prospects for having wolves identified as a game species, classified as a game species by the legislature? Do you think that that's looking like a matter of consensus?
I would stop short of saying it looks like a matter of consensus. I believe that, I mean, our bill has that in there, which also carries with it a increased penalty if you take a wolf unlawfully. Do you want me to assign odds to it, or it's still a part of, you know, we had these 8 bills out here, and some of them have kind of been taken off the table for further consideration, the translocation one in particular. But the other ones, the elements that are being looked at in combining them into a single bill, the elements that we had in our bill as it relates to designating them as a big game species is still in part of the discussion and is included in the drafting.
You're not going to make a guess. You're not going to put a wager down.
I did win $5 on my bet on the Super Bowl, so I don't want to press my luck.
So you didn't vote for the... I mean, you didn't bet on the Ravens?
Yeah, I did. That's why I won $5.
Oh, you won?
I won $5.
So it was nice to see the statistics on the winter survey on the wolves, an increase in packs, an increase in breeding pairs. A question I had was around the lookout pack. And, you know, that's the pack and I guess hopefully breeding pair. And that was a question I had. Did we get breeding happening in the lookout pack this year?
Well, I'll have to double check, but my memory is no, we did not get that.
Because, you know, as I sort of, as we had our big, you know, wolf meeting at the legislative building a while back, it was like, if we hadn't had the poaching on that pack, we probably would have wolves down into our third part, you know, third region at this point, or maybe. And that seems like an Achilles heel for us to get moving forward, is how we're going to get wolves into that third region so we can start getting some breeding. And in fact, in a lot of ways, that's probably going to be our least controversial area, at least at first, when they move over to the Mount St. Helens elk herd. There's been a lot of talk around translocation or not translocation, and one of the big barriers seems to be the time frame in which we would have to do the administrative process and EIS or whatever to deal with the paperwork to be able to do that. If we're not seeing an increase, significant increase in numbers of breeding pairs in the North Cascades region, to me that's starting to be a compelling reason to actually talk about translocation between regions. And I see the grimace, I understand the pain.
No, actually, it was just my throat was
okay.
I did grimace, but it was a little while ago.
But it's, you know, it's one of those catch-22s, but it didn't seem reasonable to actually even start that process because it could take a year and a half or 2 years to go through it. But it's now a year and a half, 2 years later, and we're not actually seeing much happening as far as dispersal into that third area. And so at some point, maybe it's reasonable to have a discussion about, really, could we start working with the feds, or could we start working with ourselves to start the paperwork process to make that at least an option in the future? And I don't know what the right answer is, but I'm just sort of looking at where we are now, and if we're not going to get much, and if it's going to be several more years before we get even wolves into that region, then it's going to be several more years before we get enough breeding pairs for us to delist at the state level. And I think that's just going to cause a lot of headaches, particularly in the northeast part of the state, looking over at Gary. And so I'm just trying to say, how do we move through this? And again, I come back to, I wish that person or that family had not poached the lookout pack, because we'd be in a much different place now if they hadn't. But we are where we are, and I'm just thinking, how do we make it? Because my sense is, once we get wolves down to Mount St. Helens, they're going to do really well. There's not a lot of livestock. There's not a lot of people. And there's a very large, actually over-dense elk herd waiting to be harvested by wolves, with a lot of watchable wildlife opportunities on top of it. So just thinking out loud, but just wondering, is there a reason to starting the paperwork process for looking at translocating, as long as we have a few minutes waiting for Joe Storr.
Just Shorn.
Sorry, my person.
So just to be, so I'm following your thoughts. You're more worried about the North Cascades region than the western part that includes the South Cascades in the western part of the state?
No, I'm saying the South Cascades, Western Washington region needs to have 5 breeding pairs before we can think about delisting. And at this point, the North Cascades as a whole seems to not be doing well. I mean, the population's, based on my little knowledge from what I get from you and your staff, the great bulk of the wolf population growth is in the northeast corner, not in the North Cascades. And until we get some really good growth in the North Cascades, we're probably not going to get much dispersal of enough individuals to get breeding pairs started in the South Cascades. And so I'm looking at the South Cascades saying, boy, how long are we going to have to wait before we get a breeding pair down there to start turning into multiple breeding pairs? And if it really is several years based on what we're looking at now, we're going to have a large density of wolves in the northeast part of the state. And yet, based on our wolf plan that everybody likes, an inability to actually delist because of our lack of breeding population in the Southern Cascades. And so translocating into the Southern Cascades seems like a way to jumpstart the delisting. So just sort of thinking out loud.
We can talk a little bit more, but I'm be interested in your thoughts about what you think the potential of the Tianaway pack is to help with that population dispersion into the South Cascades. That's the one that I'm frankly banking on.
And was that a breeding? That was breeding there. Mm-hmm.
It's a huge pack.
Okay, Joe Shorn has arrived.
Let me put a quick question, because I'm confused here a little bit, and I did mention it to Joe at lunch today, too. It was my understanding that if we have wolves in a zone, that we can translocate into that zone without a SEPA. Within the zones. Only SEPA is needed if we go to zone 3.
Cross zone.
Yeah. So we can't take wolves from the northeast and put them into the North Cascades, even if we have wolves there already, because that would be cross-regional, is what you're saying, which is different than what...
No, we could do that. We couldn't take them to Olympic.
That's not what I heard. Well, is that...
I can go get the plan, but my understanding is we could move wolves from within a region. So we could take them from the Wedge and take them down and put them in the Blue Mountains.
Mm-hmm. But
we could take wolves from the Tianaway and put them up in the North Cascades. But we can't take wolves from the Tianaway and put them down in the South Cascade region.
And we can't take them from the wedge and put them into North Cascades.
Right, because that's cross-region.
Well, which is not what Gary said, and I was just pointing out that you guys were saying two different things.
Okay.
It was my understanding that as long as there is a presence of wolves in any of the three zones, you can relocate more wolves into that zone that already has them without a SEPA.
True.
Let's get the plan and be sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Joe, Shoren, you have something late-breaking to share with us?
So we're in open session.
We are.
So I just wanted to share with you that while you were meeting, we accepted or acknowledged service of a lawsuit by the Skokomish tribe that names a number of public officials, essentially a number of members of the Board of Natural Resources and the Fish and Wildlife Commission, the director, and a number of, or a couple of other, anyway, Fish and Wildlife employees, all named in your capacity as members of the commission, not in your individual capacity. But I'll just describe the nature of the lawsuit generally. I mean, it's thick. We haven't had a chance really to review it carefully. We'll be doing that. But the gist of it is it's a treaty rights suit, and it alleges that the state, or really technically that these named public officials, but you know, they're just doing that as a pleading matter, are interfering with the privilege of hunting on open and unclaimed lands and of gathering roots and berries. And it appears to make allegations both with respect to what lands are open and unclaimed and with respect to the geographic scope of the tribe's treaty right. So, I mean, that's about the level of detail that I can share at this point. But since you were here, and it named a number, not all of the commissioners, but it names a number of the commissioners, I thought I might as well, now that we've got them all processed and documented on our side, just give them to those of you who are named so that you can take that. And we'll send information out and, you know, be able to visit with you more as this unfolds. And we'll, I didn't make extra copies, frankly. I was trying to run over here to get here in time. So for those of you who are not names, we'll give you your own little present of a copy so you know what's going on as well. So, I mean, I've got it actually electronically, so I can do that pretty quickly when I get back to the office. So,
Commissioner Smith.
Thanks. Before the lottery is given to us here, what was the rationale of those that did win the lottery?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't know why some of you, but not all of you, are named.
It's nice to have company this time. No, I don't actually get any.
Okay, is there any questions? I guess, Commissioner Carpenter?
Thank you, Madam. And this is not tongue-in-cheek. This is legit. Joe brought it up. Roots and berries. Help me to understand that assertion.
Well, the tribes have reserved in the Stevens Treaties the right of taking fish and the privilege of hunting and gathering roots and berries on open and unclaimed land. And
okay, thank you.
That's what the treaties say.
Okay, and while you're here, you called me a few days ago to raise the possibility, the discussion about providing a briefing to the commission on Indian law, and we very much want...
How prescient.
Yes, how prescient of you, of us both.
Yes.
It turns out, I gave the booklet that I still had on my bookshelf from the 2007. It was 2007 that Fronda and I think
Sheila Lynch maybe
came and gave the commission. I believe it was a one-day briefing.
Yeah.
I missed it, unfortunately, but it was an entire day. So wanted to get that on the table right here and now, that we believe that everyone who's part of the commission needs to have this kind of information. Treaty law is very complicated. We had a little discussion in our executive committee meeting this morning about whether we wanted to be briefed on both fisheries-related Indian law and hunting-related Indian law. And I cautioned everyone that both of those areas could easily take a day or two or three to explain, but there is interest on both. So maybe we can start with a summary, both treaty fishing law and treaty hunting law, so you get the contrast too. They're different. And we were hoping that that could possibly be provided to us in April when we're back in Olympia.
I think that's doable.
Great. Okay. So I also provided Bill with the booklet from the hunting strategy session, tribal hunting strategy session back in 2006, 2008, sometime like that. That was also an all-day event, and frankly, I don't really remember what we did as a consequence of really sitting down and strategizing about how to approach the issue, getting ahead of the curve with the tribes to make sure that the discussion about their hunting rights ended up in a good place. We were coming up with the overarching strategy for that, and I don't know if it ever went anywhere. But that would be an interesting topic to take up.
So we've given some thought to a briefing, and just one of the things I've been thinking about is, depending on how general or how detailed and what the commission wants, you know, we may or may not be comfortable having that conversation in open session.
Right.
There may be aspects of it that relate to potential litigation or ongoing litigation. And so perhaps we can, you know, have a sort of an iterative conversation. But what I'm hearing right now is, let's assume we're going to start general, which I think is more likely to be able to be the kind of thing that we can do in an open session that's, you know, available to the public.
Okay. Yeah, that made sense to me. Okay. Thanks very much. Is one of those presents for me?
Yeah, may I approach? Well, I could deliver them to you, and you could deliver them to your commissioners, I suppose, if you want me to do it that way.
Okay. Wait, I got to go.
Yeah, that's the first thing.
You're one of the few confirmed commissioners, so you ought to be.
Big Brad signed for his, would you?
Okay, before we recess, Big Tent Committee is at Bud Bay. Commissioner Perry, you are required to clone yourself. You're on both.
I suspect I will be at both meetings, or maybe none. With the excuse, I'm at the other.
Is my name not on it?
You have your choice, but I assume you want to
go. I'll go to the Wildlife. Yeah,
I can sit in for you.
All right. Like a Big Tent.
Yeah.
Big Tent?
Oh, goody, goody. Yes,
I need to talk to you afterwards anyway, as you'd mentioned.
Yeah, okay.
That way you'll be away.
Your presence would be welcome.
I am a winner. I am a winner.
Congratulations.
Okay. So we are recessing until tomorrow morning, 8:30.